US shares are down again, pulled lower by tech stocks, which means bonds are a bit more in favour, helped by weaker ISM services report. We are edging closer to non-farm payrolls at the end of the week, of course, with the ADP numbers for what they're worth out tonight, along with the JOLTS numbers, the job openings numbers. Meanwhile, China has set a 5% growth target for this year. You might have thought that would be good for the Aussie dollar, but the opposite seems to be the case. And amidst all the uncertainty, new highs for Bitcoin and gold. And Australia GDP today. Just how big is the slowdown? It's Wednesday, the 6th of March, 2024. It's the morning call from NAB. Good morning. Well, the unbridled enthusiasm in the US equity markets is certainly diminished today, with shares well down again. A 1% drop in the Dow and the S&P at close, and the Nasdaq has lost 1.6%. The Russell 2000 also down 1%. Moderate moves in Europe, though, with the Euro Stoxx 50 down just 0.4%, but the FTSE 100 is actually up, but only 0.1%. We've got a small fall in the US dollar on the DXY. Also, the Australian dollar is down as well to just above 65 US cents. The Euro is flat. A 0.1% lift in the pound. Not much movement in currencies, in other words, apart from the Japanese yen is up 0.4% this morning. And Bitcoin, if we can call that a coin, well, that hit an all-time high for the first time since 2021, hitting $69,000. Try spending that and getting some change. Bond yields are much lower this morning, down 8 basis points for 10-year treasuries to 4.13%. In Europe, a 7 basis point drop in German 10-year bunds, 11 basis points lower in UK 10-year gilts. Aussie 10 years were down just 1 basis point yesterday to 4.09%, down 5 basis points from that on futures overnight. And oil is lower as well today, a 0.7% drop in WTI, a 0.9% fall in Brent. Brent is now just over 82 a barrel. So let's start with what's happened overnight. The services ISM for the United States. Here's NAB's Ray Attrill in Sydney. The good news is the US service sector is still expanding. The bad news is not as fast as it was.
Yeah, morning, Phil. A little bit of a few overs and unders in there, but obviously that headline ISM services was being billed as the, you know, probably the second most important economic release of the week, trailing, you know, Friday's non-farm payrolls release. And just that headline number, 52.6, down from 53.4. Expectations was 53. So a little bit on the soft side, against which we had an upward revision to the S&P global version. That was revised up from 51.3 to 52.3. So we've actually got a bit of realignment going on between the S&P global PMI, which is sort of got a sort of a shorter vintage and tends not to, or tends to play second fiddle to the ISM. They are now back in line and still saying that, you know, there's reasonable expansion in the service sector, but it's certainly, you know, it has slowed down a little bit since late last year. But what really caught the market's imagination, I think, was that prices paid sub-index that plunged, if that's the right, if that's not too strong a word, from 64 from in January to 58.6. So it sort of puts it back at the levels that we saw late last year. So it certainly seems to mark
November,
out.
It's not a clear direction down, though, is it? Because February is actually higher than November or December. So, you know, those prices aren't clearly on a downward trajectory, really.
No, but it's still, you know, it's still a big month-on-month fall. So, but it certainly would suggest that the hard inflation numbers that we're going to get for February and mid-March should be somewhat more moderate than we saw in January. Whether we're going back to, you know, 0.2 or sub 0.2 monthly readings remains to be seen, of course. The other thing, I guess, to notice that the employment index fell back below 48 from 50.5. So literal interpretation of that is that the service sector shed jobs during February. So that, you know, obviously that would play into expectations that we shouldn't see a repeat of the January bumper non-farm payrolls report, against which new orders up to 56.1 from 55. So still suggesting that, you know, even if the service sector growth is moderating, it's that certainly suggests it's not rolling over just yet.
And PMIs from other parts of the world. So Canada's services PMI rose a little. It fell for the UK, but still a bit over 50 at 53.8, but lower than expected. The euro area has moved over 50, 50.2 from 48.4 last time. It's actually the first time it's been over 50 since last July. So that's good news. But Germany and France still stuck below 50, though, but better than expected. So again, overs and unders, isn't it?
A little bit, yes. I think the overall takeaway would be, I mean, we already had the preliminary Eurozone services was at 50.0, which was quite a significant upside surprise. And that's now been revised up to 50.2. So actually into expansion territory, albeit very meagre at least. But as you say, the UK one revised down, but at 53.8 in absolute terms, it's still suggesting that, the service sector's doing okay, and that, if the UK might have been in technical recession in half one, but most of the sort of anecdotal and other data is not consistent with the UK being an outright recession.
And there was a big fall in factory orders as well, wasn't there, in January, down 3.6% from a fall of just 0.3% in December. But I think I know the reason for that. If you take out transport, then it's pretty flat, wasn't it? And that was the month, January, when Boeing was just having a nightmare time with their 737 MAX problems. Only their orders were well down. So that sort of explains that, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I mean, we've already said we already had the durable goods orders, which was depressed, as we know, by Boeing orders. But nevertheless, it does look like there's a little bit of trend slowing in orders. And I think if we take all of the data that we've had in the last sort of few days or so, it's certainly consistent with moderation in US growth in the first quarter, in which respect the latest Atlanta Fed's GDP nowcast, I think, pings Q1 growth at 2.1%, which is, barely above trend, which on most estimates is just shy of 2%. So a significant moderation from Q4 next year.
So interesting to see. Yeah, it will. So is that why we're seeing shares down so much, a bit more interest in bonds, bit more gold as well, gold hitting new high as well as Bitcoin? Is that what's driving all of that, do you think?
No, I think there's some stock specific news. So we had news late mid-afternoon in Sydney time yesterday. We had headlines crossing the wires that Apple's iPhone sales were down, 24%
from China
in the first 6 weeks of sales to China, first 6 weeks of the year. We've already had that news about Tesla saying that they shipped only 60,000 EVs from their Shanghai factory last month. So I think that was down, 16% month on month and 19% year on year, for example. So we've seen, Apple shares have been off 2.5% on that. Tesla shares are in a bit of a world of pain. They're off 4%. So big year on year falls, basically, in both respects there. So the Magnificent Seven is, seems to be morphing into the Magnificent Five just at the moment.
Right. And China behind a lot of that. So, and yet here we are with the People's Congress, 5% growth is being confirmed. So they're expecting things to pick up. But obviously there's a bit of doubt about that. Is that why we're seeing the Aussie dollar looking a bit weak today?
I think it was the lack of, there was no real surprises in these NPC announcements that were made by Premier Li Qiang yesterday. But I think it was just the lack of any upside surprise that disappointed markets. So as you say, 5% growth target for the, or about 5%, which was pretty much as flagged. Budget deficit in line with last year's 3%, which means, they're not planning on any sort of net fiscal impulse, at least from the central government. There is going to be $1 trillion won's worth of new special government bonds that will provide some off-budget financing for particularly for local authority spending. But that's the same number as we had last October. So again, no net new stimulus there, for example. So overall, I think the market was saying, we thought there might be, not that anyone really expected any sort of big bazooka announcements, but certainly the numbers have underwhelmed markets. And I think that Aussie was suffering a little bit on that. And I think when that sort of Apple headline hit, Aussie did seem to take an additional hit. So it's really just the fact that the US dollar has been softer on the back of the various data releases that we've just talked about. And I think that's why the Aussie's clawed back onto that 65 handle.
It's a big call, isn't it, that 5%? Because that's 5%, 5% last year, basically. They haven't got sort of like the low base to work
on. No, that's right. But if they do achieve 5% this year, in nominal terms, it'll be a pretty big achievement, effectively, as you say, because there isn't that favourable base effect. So
all they need to do is create jobs and diffuse risks. That's what they've said. That's how they're going to do it. That's fantastic, isn't it? So it's simple.
Well, that's true. But I mean, it's interesting that, what Premier Li said is that the foundations for the continuous recovery and improvement of our country's economy is still not solid, with insufficient demand, overcapacity in some industries, weak societal expectations, and many lingering risks. So That doesn't sound particularly upbeat,
doesn't it? And people not buying iPhones or Teslas. So Tokyo's CPI, 2.6% year-on-year for February, slightly higher than estimates, quite a bit higher than January when it was 1.6%. But take out food and energy, and year-on-year it's still stuck at 3.1%, which sounds quite high. I would have thought that's a bit of a worry. But anyway, we'll talk about that another day. Let's talk about today. So Q4 GDP for Australia, 2.1% year-on-year for the last quarter, 0.2% growth quarter-on-quarter. That year-on-year number is expected to fall quite a bit. What are the numbers we're going to see today?
Well, we're expecting 0.2%. That was the expectation heading into all of the various GDP partials. And we've had the usual, overs and unders there. After that sort of big drop in inventories that was reported on Monday, that certainly seemed to introduce some downside risks to our and other market forecasts. But yesterday, we saw particularly the net export contribution to GDP is now going to be 0.6%. Expectation was 0.2 heading into that. We also had a big rise in public sector inventories, which provides a little bit of an offset to the fall in private inventories. So, as is often the case, we're sort of back where we started. So we haven't revised our forecast for a 0.2% quarterly growth. And best I can tell, neither has the market. So we're in line with market consensus there. Obviously, that will imply a significant slowing in economic growth. And it really should be the consumer side of the GDP equation that will be bearing the brunt of that.
So German trade figures later today as well for January. December was a bit of a rubbish month, wasn't it? Exports were down 4.6%, exports down 6.7% month on month. So exports, of course, have been steadily decreasing, but let's hope they're going to pick up a bit in January. And Euro area retail sales for January, plus the spring budget for the UK tonight, Aussie time. They are expecting a 2% tax cut for those people who are in work. Why are they doing that? For sound economic reasons, obviously. Also, it's an election year. And in America, Jerome Powell talking to the House Financial Services Committee. I mean, we already know a chunk of his opening speech, don't we? Because it's a cut and paste job from the statement after the last FOMC meeting.
That's right. So, the key comment in the statement and repeated in the published testimony was that the committee does not expect it'll be appropriate to reduce the target range for the Fed funds rate until it has gained greater confidence that inflation is moving sustainably towards the 2% target. Now, following the various January inflation prints that we've had, CPI, PCE, etc., doubtless Chair Powell will be telling us that confidence has not yet been realised, but there'll be lots to unpack, I'm sure, in the testimony, nevertheless.
So does that mean June is off the cards? I mean, are we going to be listening? Is that what we're going to be listening for today?
I think it only means that March is off the cards. We're heading into the March meeting. And we would expect we'll get the beige book this time tomorrow morning, won't we? Which will be interesting. So yeah. I think, May is still not out of the question, but obviously we're going to need to see some very reassuring inflation numbers, I think, between now and then to keep that live. But market is still, as we are, still travelling, in a reasonably confident expectation that a first cut will come no later than the June meeting.
Right. So JOLTS, the job openings data as well today, and the ADP employment number ahead of the non-farm payrolls, which you've already mentioned. Of course, the relationship between the ADP and non-farm payrolls.
It was only a 250,000 miss. What's that between friends?
It's like the relationship between the price of carrots and Elon Musk's bank account, isn't it? Which, by the way, he's no longer the richest man in the world. It's Jeff Bezos, according to the Bloomberg Billionaires Index today. But not much attention paid to ADP. But what about JOLTS?
No, JOLTS, I think, will be. And two components. Job openings are still pretty high. Expectations 8.85 million, which is only down a little bit from just over 9 million last month. I think the quits rate, the number of people who have quit their job for another job during the month, which says a lot about confidence that you can, walk down the street and get a better paid job around the corner. So that quits rate, and it does correlate quite well with things like average hourly earnings growth. So I think that number is actually, as or more important than the JOLTS report itself. But certainly important.
All right. And Bank of Canada, steady she goes. I think no change expected today, but maybe again to June, I think, isn't it, where the betting is. And get your popcorn ready for Super Tuesday primaries for the Republicans. A clear streak for Trump seems likely, doesn't it? In fact, I love the way the BBC described it. They said less of a competition, more of a coronation. But who's going to be his running mate? That's the next question, isn't it?
I guess so. And I suppose the other interest will be in whether Nikki Haley does sort of formally
step down.
Depart stage left. There's been a thought that other Republicans who aren't supporters of Trump wanted to stay in the race. So Trump still has to empty his bank balance and campaign for the primaries on top of the hemorrhaging of cash from his legal fees. Mm. So, but obviously it does seem to be sort of all over by the shouting, doesn't it? So those results should be filtering in, I guess, sort of during, you know, maybe during the Australian afternoon.
Yeah. All right. Very good. We'll catch you next time. Thank you, Ray.
Will do. Thanks, Phil.
And there we are. There's another one done. Season 8, episode 47 of The Morning Call. Join me for episode 48 tomorrow morning here from NAB. I'm Phil Dobby. Thanks for listening.